All right, so like the outfit, okay? The glasses, the fit, the hair, the Wu-Tang ring. Show that off. Love it, love it. Show them your outfit. Would you mind setting up, showing what you made here?
Okay, so my outfit, little Spidey gloves as the belt. And then I got the socks, with the long socks and the kicks.
Those are the first set of shoes that have been on this table. No, you're good. You're good. So, Ari, welcome. You know, one of the things that I was really excited to have you on for the podcast for was because every time I see you, you always have an immaculate outfit. You know, the first time I met you, I believe you were wearing a leopard print outfit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, no, wait. Leopard print outfit, or I think, I think you were like a sergeant, because I could recall calling you Sarge.
Okay.
I was like,
yeah,
what up, Sarge?
Might have had the hat on.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sergeant hat on with, exactly. with the jacket. I like army fatigue and like captain hats and stuff like that. So yeah, that's probably what you saw me in, yeah.
I idolize people who have harnessed the power of fashion, okay? Because I'm gonna be honest with you guys, I'm not the most fashionable guy out there, but I know how to dress casual, like business casual, you know what I mean?
Okay, okay.
And with that being said, like, there are times, the hardest thing for me to do before I do a show is honestly pick a fucking outfit.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. I hate
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I normally, like, I think I go by the theme of the party or the event first, and then I, like, you know, try to, like, imagine or create a look or whatever. But for the most part, I'm like obsessed with like army fatigue or animal print, and I try to like incorporate both of those, or like, I don't know, like kente cloth, shit like that, like something like that, like speaks, but then like all black everything.
You try to not wear the same thing twice, right?
That too.
That's a big part.
That's a major part, yeah.
And with the pod, it's like, that's the thing that I literally look through my outfits and I'm just like, damn, all right, wore that. But then also, I'll look at my podcast for inspiration for when I'm going out to be like, all right, you kind of look good when you were wearing that.
Right.
So, you know, wear it out in the public. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's okay to remix an outfit or two, you know what I'm saying, that you definitely got like a standing ovation with. So even if you didn't, that means nobody saw it. So we got to bust it out again.
Yes, exactly. I love it. So with that being said, everyone, welcome to the Middleman Podcast. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, and I am joined by Disco Makeup Ari.
That's me.
Welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
As we just said, your outfit is phenomenal, and I really do love the Wu-Tang ring there. Because
made out of brass, you know what I'm saying? It was actually a prototype piece, and a friend of mine gifted it to me. He's like, you can have it. But he wound up, his name is Johnny Nelson. He's from Brooklyn, originally from London, and he is just amazing. He did a whole four-finger ring of Mount Rushmore, but like his, what he would think it would look like iconic black folks, hip hop moguls and things of that nature. So he did like his own thing, and he got notoriety for that. And yeah, I just been rocking the woos. It's like, hey, you like what you see?
I do. Just always trying to stay unique. I got this one little Wu-Tang, and this card stays here. Like, I don't know where to put it. But it's like, I went to a concert, Wu-Tang and Nas.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was this year, and like, that was a poster, but put in a card form.
Yeah.
So I was like, so
that's major.
Yeah, I actually like this when I saw your ring, and then I was like, oh, I have this here.
This
like,
is authentic. Oh, it was meant to be.
I keep it. I keep it here. I keep it here all
that's
the time.
That's what's up.
But you know, let's get into you. I'm so happy you're here. Disco Makeup Ari. You know, one of my biggest things is the disco part of it.
Okay.
Because you know, it's just like that's such a, you know, unique phrase. Just disco.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how'd you earn that nickname?
Well, I kind of earned it from, like, being out in the club scene, hanging out with different people in the industry and doing a lot of events. I used to work at Webster Hall. Like, I had a weekly, which was every Thursday, and then I was working there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then it became, like, a way of life, I guess.
What industry are we referring to?
We're referring to, I guess, like, club life and, like, I don't necessarily call myself a club kid, but it was kind of like along those lines. Mm-hmm. And then basically just going out every night, getting wasted and trying to network with people and be like, okay, we're going to work on this. We're going to do this. Like, we all have big dreams. We're going to make them happen. And then, I started parading myself at different venues. And then one day my homegirl was like, oh, your name should be Disco. And I was like, why? She was like, well, you like old school music. Every time you come in the room, a song is playing. And like, it's honestly like a consciousness for me, because I grew up with like old school music and like my grandparents and like my mom playing certain songs, and she would play them just to fill the air, you know? And I'd be like, mom, why you play that song? She'd be like, cause I just got to get out of my funk. And I'd be like, all right. But yeah, it was also to keep me sound, you know? The word disco, it means a lot to different people, but for me, it's like the struggle and the beauty of like growing up in Harlem and in New York, and like I have family from that era, and I came from that era, and they basically passed down their consciousness to me, and I just never lost it.
So the disco era flows through you.
Pretty much, yeah.
Essentially, I mean, I could look at the outfit, look at the glasses. I mean, like, the glasses are very like 80s, you know, funk disco, like, let's bop out, let's have a great time. You know, I could see you in one of these like dancing workout videos. You know what
I
mean?
Oh yeah,
like,
what? Please just throw on the record or throw on the song. I'm all about it. Like, and also like a lot of the songs that were played back then spoke about, like, I don't know, they were stories, you know, or like spoke about love, hardships, breakups, food. You know, getting down, dancing and jamming, boogieing and all this other stuff. But, you know, you never knew what you was getting, but you knew you was going to be filled with some. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I like it. Like, it made me feel comfortable. Like, oh, that's disco. Oh, what's up? Oh,
that's disco.
Yeah,
that's such
like,
a
it's
sturdy
just
nickname.
Like, yeah.
Of course. And so I know you mentioned, you know, being a part of the parties. Webster Hall, which ironically, right before we got on the show, I literally just ran across that. Like, I was
nice.
I was just looking at that. I was looking at some of your photos. I was looking at your blog.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's talk about, you know, who you are. You know, the other part of her name is Makeup Ari. You know what I mean? So, you know, you are talented in the makeup. But before you got into being an artist, you know, you were doing modeling.
Yeah, I actually was. Like, so I guess it got to a point in life where it was like, oh, you're from New York, what do you do? And so many people who aren't from New York come to New York for their dreams and to make them come true. And it's like, well, I'm from here. I was born here. I was raised here. You know, I should be able to, like, get this, right? And it's like, no. Sometimes you have to, like, you go for it and it doesn't execute the way you exactly want it to. Like things don't span out the way that you want them to, but it could be for the better. You never know, you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're connecting with people and you're thinking you're making a connection. It's like, yeah, I do this. And it's like, oh, wait, you don't do that? You know, like, it's everything was trial and error. But like, as a model, you're there to wear the clothes and not say shit. You're not allowed to like have makeup on. I mean, like, it's very light. You can't have jewelry on. Excuse me. And the clothes that you wear have to be very minimal. So you have to be ready to be a hanger. And I was like, okay, I could do this. I could shut up and da 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 da. But then it got to a point where it was like, each and every gig, I have no say. Like, this is what I'm wearing. And like, I'm not saying every shoot that I went to, a person I was working with, like, this is how it was. But for the most part, you are there to be the hanger. Like, you're just there to wear the clothes. And like, if you want to have a little bit of personality, like, please don't. You know, like, either you hire by an agency or you picked up a gig because of a friend and they were like, oh, she can do the job. But then they're looking for something. And you could be that something, but you might not be. So it was just like, ah, screw that. So once I was done doing the modeling thing, I was like, that did it. I went to a photo shoot and I met this artist, a makeup artist named Tanisha Faye. And she was already like, she was a freelancer of her own, like, in her own right. And she was like, oh, I'm a makeup artist. I do this. I've been doing this for decades. You know, I'm just telling you, like, if you want to do this, you're going to have to do a lot of free work. And I was like, well, I already do a lot of free work. So, I mean, modeling has its, like, ups and downs, literally. So I was like, nah, I'm going to try it out. And I just picked up a brush. And whenever she had a shoot, she called me. And I was her assistant for, like, what, maybe, like, 2 to 5 years or so, on and off. And then started picking up gigs myself and started working with different people, and the rest is history.
As a model, you know, I'm not too familiar with the model game, but the way you put it together there, to think of a person as a hanger, yeah. And more so as an object and instead of a human being. Was that something that they would disclose to you, or they probably would give you this pretty picture and then, you know, you would be found in a spot where it's like, wow, I really have no say in what I'm doing here?
Well, I mean,
Well,
besides looking for opportunities to get out of the hood, it was like, if this is all that I have to do, I'm with it. But there comes up, you know, there's like a glimmer of hope in your life where you start to notice how everybody else is doing anything, and that's not you. So it's like, I don't know if this is for me, but I'm gonna do it anyway. I'm gonna get the free clothing. I'm gonna network with these girls. I'm gonna get to know these guys that are photographers or whatever. I'm going to do everything that I can so that I can level up, like learn what you need to learn. And then find something else, you know? But don't shade on the other models that are trying to get their feet wet or, you know, back broke, whatever. Like, it's a lot of stuff that goes on. And it's like, it's not just, you know, I like to think I come from the era of when you had to literally step on the pavement, come outside, go to the shoot, bring your portfolio, bring your book. We had no phones. All we had was pens and them cards and your brain. And if you don't know how to navigate, you will be lost. But it's okay to ask for help or to ask for direction or, like, you know, call 911 if you need me, whatever, 411. But for information, like, just little things that I don't think in the modeling industry get taught to the girls, but they rely on the agency to do these things for them. And that could be dangerous, especially if they're, like, you know, misguiding you. It's your career, you know? So,
yeah.
But yeah, that was one thing I was like, I don't know. I want to be able to still do what I do, like what I do, love what I do, and have my mom by my side. Be like, yeah, I knew you was gonna do that. You know, like, you know, I could invite her and be like, Mom, this is guilt free. Or we're grown now, so you could see me like this, and she'd be like, yeah, I'm right. You're right. Like, it's funny now. But
so then you made the transition, right? You made the transition from a model to an artist, and you were working under who again?
So I've worked with, like, various artists, up and coming and, like, industry wise, but not really to be like, yo, I'm a name drop. I mean, I've met.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You mentioned, Tina, or.
Oh, Tanisha Faye.
Tanisha Faye. Okay. Yes. Tanisha Faye. Mm-hmm. So she basically, you know, opened up that world to you, right?
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, she got you started on that track. You know, talk to me about schooling. Talk to me about, you know, she mentioned that you were going to do a lot of free work, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you said you did it both in modeling and with makeup artists. So talk to me about that.
Yeah. Well, so she basically, like, put me onto game in the sense of, you know, you got to hustle and make sure that each and every gig that you get is, you know, solid and that you're getting paid. And if you're not getting paid, you need to, like, make sure that you, like, you know, say that within the whatchamacallit, like, to the person that you're working with, because it really does make sense to get paid for the work that you do. However, sometimes it doesn't work out that way, and so you need to work on knowing contracts and stuff like that. So she basically was self-taught, and I think she did a couple of, like, classes here and there, but it was all on her. Like, she taught me how to buy the kit, how to go to the makeup district or how to go to the garment district and haggle with the folks and buy the makeup in bulk.
Really?
Like, she taught me how to, like, you know, search for certain brands. Just because it's cheap doesn't mean that it's cheap. Just know what's inside the product so that you can apply it. If you have to take the product and, like, finesse it with some water or oil, like, know how to, like, you know how to work it. But no matter what, know what you're buying and make sure your clients are breaking out in hives and rashes, you know?
Of course.
And make sure you have, you know, clean utensils or clean tools to use when you know, working with them. Because honestly, like, I don't think anybody wants any eye fungus, but, you know.
No.
Yeah. It's just a thing, you know. But practice clean, you know, etiquette. And, like, also when it comes to schooling, it's okay if you want to invest in yourself. Sometimes there are free programs that will provide for you so that you can, like, you know, learn more than what you have been doing. Or actually, like, sometimes it's good to get some kind of accreditation under your belt so people could take you more seriously. Because sometimes I'm self-taught, I've done this, I work with so-and-so and big name here and there. People don't care, they want to see the paper. And then some people don't care about the paper, they want to see who you work with. So do it all, god dang it. Do it all, get all the certifications you can, learn as much as you can, you know, work with as many people as you can, because that's a part of you and your journey. And also getting paid, you know, you never know.
Networking, you know, getting the schooling, getting a certificate, having the ability to create the portfolio. You know, you said it, you grew up in an era where you had to carry around folders and cards, and, yeah, you know, you had to insert yourself, as to now, yep, where I have it a bit easier because all I have to do is slide into your DM and be like, hey, how are you doing today? I run a podcast. Here is my portfolio on the social media profile. Right. And I don't have to have that face-to-face interaction with
them.
Yeah,
yo, footwork, the fancy footwork is where it's at, you know? But I like to think that humbly I did all of that so that somebody else who sees how I move can move quicker. And okay, that's what it is now. It's very humbling. Like, you don't know until you're, like, in a room with a bunch of people and you're like, wait a minute, I always dreamt about this shit. You know what? I'm gonna just take it for what it is and be happy. You know, like, you're always gonna want more, as you should, you know? That's just what life is, but...
I love how you're talking about this right now, because it's, like, setting things up for what I want to talk to you later in a book right here real quick. But before we do that, this is bothering me since we started the show, so I need to fix it real quick.
Okay.
Oh! He's straight now. Jeez.
You're not supposed to be straight.
I've been staring at that for a minute, and I'm so sorry for that little... I'm like, you gotta fix that real quick. So back to schooling and training and techniques, you know, one of the things that you added in the conversation that we had prior to the podcast was a technique that helped with hand-eye coordination. And I was a little bit, you know, I was like, okay, that's a little, I didn't expect that answer. You know, you said that video games were a technique and a method.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think everybody should learn how to play video games. It not only helps with the dexterity of your fingertips, but it also helps you, you know, like just learning how to use your eyes and your fingers at the same time.
Yes.
And when you do, like, when you do makeup, I mentioned video games because it's like when you, how do I say this? Like when you're doing makeup on a person's face, you're creating a look, or you're giving them, like, you know, features, like making their face symmetrical or whatever. Like, there's all these ways of, like, making them look like alive. And, like, when you play video games, not only are you practicing, like, where your eyes look and where your hands, like, move.
You are so right.
It's the same thing. It's, yeah, like, you want to be able to create the look and make it as perfect as possible. But in a video game, you win. You're feverishly trying to get to the goal, like, or the point, or whatever, like, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, I guess with makeup, it's kind of the same thing, because you'll be spending hours on a person's face or body to achieve this look just for this shoot that's only going to take an hour to 4 hours. It's insane, but it's like, it's work. It's honestly, it's effortless to me now, because I guess you could say I'm a trained creative since I was a kid. Like, I've always been in art, and, like, I went from drawing stick figures to drawing better stick figures. So, you know, it's like... I still draw stick figures. But good. Always, I'm always up for the challenge when it comes to video games.
Always looking to learn. And, you know, so you did end up going to school as well?
Totally, yeah. Okay. I spent 9 months of my life going to cosmetology school in Brooklyn, which was fire. My mom at the time was just coming out of, like, paraprofessionalism and becoming a teacher. Mm-hmm. So she was going to, like, all these, I guess they were, like, programs to make sure, like, she received the information, knew what she was learning and things of that nature. And it was like a flyer in the room, and she just ripped it. She's like, shh, this for my baby. I was like, Ma, why you didn't leave that thing to share everybody? She said, trust me, that paper must have been there for weeks before I pulled it down. When I pulled it down, I knew it was for you. I said, okay, then I guess so. I guess you're right. So I wound up going because not only was it something to do, but it was a challenge. And from where I'm from, if you're going to go to school, and I'm going to say this, it was a tuition, it was a free tuition, for 9 months, I had to sacrifice waking up 9 to 12. I went to a job readiness training program for a month, which was 2 weeks, 9 to 12, and then the next 2 weeks, 9 to 4, basically to show the initiative that I wanted to go to the program and go to cosmetology school for free. Mm. That was the
footwork.
Yeah. Yeah, and pretty much like, okay, this is you signing yourself off. And I was like, all right, cool. And once I passed that month, They even help me with like resume help and like, you know, learning how to like, I don't get my feet back in the work field or whatever, but they're teaching me things that I kind of know, but I've been applying and then you look around you and go, but people are still learning how to apply what you just learned.
Yes.
Deep shit. I mean, excuse me, but no, it's so deep because it's like, yo, I know this. And then it's like, oh, you know this, but that's why you need to be in this class to teach these other people. And it's like, I don't need to tell. It's humbling. You do need to teach them. I mean, how else do you learn? Each one teach one, reach one. When I went, it was like, okay, I'm not just doing this for my mom, but I'm doing this for me and in the future. And if I pass, I get to brag all I want. Yeah, I got a trade school again. And like I could also put other people on. Unfortunately, the school closed down or like they changed their name. They had to go through like a whole, you know,
rebrand
and all of that. Some of us know why schools do that, and a lot of us, you know, we're just gonna be quiet. But
I'm very intrigued.
I'm not gonna touch it.
I don't know why these schools do that.
I want to say that it's Texas. Honestly, okay, you know what I'm saying? Okay. They're like, oh, what name is that? Bow. Luckily, my shit's accredited. You know what I'm saying? But
yes.
You always want to make sure.
What's the importance of having accredited? You know.
So that other companies take you. You know, not just the people that you work with, but companies. You want the big bucks. You want the money. You want the sponsorship. You want people to be like, okay, she knows what she's talking about. Like at least there's something that she's educated in that I could work with. You mm-hmm. know, versus as me just winging it and be like, well, yeah, I know so and so, and I may know so and so, but so and so may not be accredited in their shit either. So we all trying to work together with what we have, you know what I'm saying? In the sense of, okay, you may have this and that represent that, but I'm gonna bring this so we come together and we represent a hard like this and like that.
Would you say it's a industry that likes to help each other while competing against each other?
No.
Okay.
No. Because I'm replaceable, honey. I'm replaceable because I don't have a union or I'm not backed by anybody that's like, ooh, hello. Hello, I back her ass all the time. Now, the beauty about being a freelance makeup artist is that you have your, I'm independent in a different way. It'd be nice to have, like I said, financial backing, like an agency where they call me like, oh, you got to go here and there and there. But I would have to pay into that too. Or it would be like, I don't know. It's just, I feel like it's like progressive. Like, it's still, people are still learning, or we're still learning how to, like, get the industry there so that everybody's, like, I guess, happy, you know? But other than that, it's, oh, you're SAG, or you SAG after, or, hey, you got an IMDb, or IMDb, and, like, who, what? What do you mean? I need that as a makeup artist? Yeah, you need all of that. But what do you mean? I'm not an actor. No, you need to, they need to know that you are in the field, or you have credentials, or you does this. And I'm like, what? So that's more money I got to shell out so these people can see me? It's a lot of work. You know, so I'm honestly just grateful for the opportunities that I've had over the years from people that have given me, or if I had to search, you know, gigs or jobs here and there where people are like, oh, I know she's right for it. Like, we're going to do this and we're hiring her. Thank you. Thank you. Because that means you believe in me, you know, or you take what I do serious. And honestly, that's what it's about for me.
So let's talk about some of the clientele, how you go about getting clientele. You know, you just mentioned word of mouth. Where did you find yourself working in the industry? What type of collaborations were you doing?
So like I was doing a lot of, I want to say like avant-garde type parties, like the type of parties where people are just like expressing their inner freak, but like, you know, vanilla like, and it's nothing wrong with it. You know what I'm saying? People pay a pretty penny just to party and be safe. You know, but there's also people that don't. And I've always taken the initiative, I guess, to like always be like, "Hey, welcome to the event. I'm here to do your makeup. It's a safe space. Kawaii." Like, you know, that's just me.
That was just you, and
yeah.
Not even hired for the event. That was just something that you would do all the time. Okay.
Yes. Like I would show up to parties and be like, hey, what's up you guys? And what are we drinking on? It'd be a $30 bottle of like, you know, some random vodka, but bro. Or like Stoli if you're nasty, you know, but whatever got us wasted in order to keep our you know, convos going, and just make sure that when you network, you keep those those people's numbers and make sure you remember what you spoke about. Like, that was a challenge. Like, and then throughout the years, you know, if you're going to work with this person again or like, oh my God, so much fun. So much fucking fun.
I mean, granted, with that being said, I mean, you and I, we met at an event where we were all having some drinks, you know, and here we are now. So
yeah,
I mean,
exactly. See, but this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, we partied, we networked. Right. We remembered the conversation.
Exactly.
We exchanged the social media, you know, right. And then the next time I saw you, I was like, yo,
we got to make. I was like, I'm trying to get on that. I'm trying to get in there, yo.
So here we are, you know, so I can attest to that. That it is an effective method, you know, especially if you can remember. That's the key thing. You have to remember, though.
Right.
Okay, so you can party and make business moves. You just got to be, you know, classy and keep it all together there, okay?
Yep.
You know, speaking about, you know, classiness, professionalism, one of the things that also struck me while we were talking before the podcast was, you know, you talked about etiquette. You talked about shop etiquette. And then in parentheses, you had the words tell a story. And the reason I'm so drawn to that is because I think about a barber. Okay. Mm. I think about a barber. Mm. I think about my barber shop etiquette. You know, what's his style? What's he, you know, how does he present himself? Mm-hmm. And the tell a story is he's telling his story while also, you know, interjecting himself into my story just a little bit to try to just, hey man, like this is what, you know, you got this going on. Mm-hmm. It's just an outside source, you know? So, talk to me about the shop etiquette and then the tell a story part about it, you know, because I was very intrigued by that.
Okay, so like, so some girls like to work in the salon, which is shop, and some girls like to keep shop at their house, which is to each his own, honestly, at your own risk, because when you cross a certain line in my crib, there's certain things you're not allowed to do. We supposed to be girls. We supposed to see here. We here to do hair. But you're not here to get fucked up. But yeah, some girls bring that kind of etiquette in the shop. I'd rather be a trip than, you know, be no trip. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It varies. So that's why I always say, you know, me as an individual, as a cosmetologist herself, you got to have some kind of rules, some kind of boundaries. Your girls are your girls. And like I said, they go to get their hair done from you. But whatever info, like whatever drama they got, keep it to yourself, boo. Like, don't do that. Don't bring that kind of energy with you. And if you're going to bring it with you because you know you're here to release it and let it go. I don't want to hear that you left my shop or you left my crib or whatever after the service and you outside acting like a fucking fool. Like, this is not. So it's also a bit of mental health stuff, too. Mm-hmm. telling a story wise, I used to work at Dry Bar. And Dry Bar is a dope-ass place to work. Like, these are just some of the most creative stylists you will ever meet in your life. Like, a lot of them that I've worked with actually worked in the industry, like, part-time. But their job is literally working in the shop. Like, I think, like, what? They open at 6 a.m. and close at 8 p.m.? Yeah, every day. So those are the hours. And then an extra hour if you're nasty. But anyway, the girls at the time, they didn't know I was licensed, which was fire because I was just trying to, like, get my feet wet, like, get back into the, like, scene or, like, get back into the industry type thing. But, like, working a 9-to-5 type shit because I was doing a lot of, like, freelance work with, like, videos and things of that nature. So, like, they hired me as a receptionist and I would take the girls in, but then I wouldn't stay at the, like, receptionist part. Because I ain't beat. Like, I'm not only here to just be like, hi, how are you? Yes, and your appointment is at what time? Oh, well, you're a couple of minutes late, but we'll still take you. And in the back of my head, I'm going, if I was a stylist, I would not take her ass. She came late. But I'm doing this because I know that we have to, we have ratings. And these girls are Yelpers. They go ape. If they don't get their chair, like, if they don't get in, they will be, like, cussing you out online. And before you know it, you're like, this is what they think about me online. So imagine in person. But yeah, so I got to work the front and then I would bring the girls in and then I would leave the receptionist table and go to the back and take the folded towels in and, like, you know, just like act like the place was mine. Mm-hmm. But then come back to the front and then have to, like, switch it back to, you know, work mode because you can't give that part to everybody because people will walk all over you, including the clients. So they'd be like, she's fun. I'm like, yeah, I'm front and I'm not. Like, are you checked in? You came 15 minutes late? I'm only smiling at you because I get paid to. You fucking with me. Like, don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to come in late or you can't make the time, you can't make your slot, please be courteous and call us. That's all you got to do. Because normally I will call you, but because I work for a chain or like a, you know, like a well-known company, people aren't expecting that of us, I guess, because it's a company. It's corporate.
They want you to keep it. Yeah, I got it.
And I'm like, no. Yeah. I'm the type of girl, I'll call you and be like, consultation says, you know, da-da-da-da, you have this on your hair, blah, 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 blah. Do you want this still? Like, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not a manager. These are what the managers do. Mm-hmm. I'm just small fry. So once they put me on the line and I started doing the hair, it became like everybody was like, oh, she leveled up. And I was like, kind of.
You've been had it though. Yeah.
Yeah. I was always like that. I was always the type to take multiple jobs. But I guess you could say the best story I ever had was a girl came in and she wanted a haircut. And no, not a haircut. She wanted her hair blown out. But she didn't, the way she normally blow her hair out wasn't like how she wanted to do it this time around in the shop. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to bump it. She was like, what's that? I was like, it's just when you take the hair after you wash and dry it, you blow it out, and then you bump it with the iron. She was like, all right, I'll try it. My girl, cool as fuck. I forgot her name, but she told me $100. Because we were Jessica. Just so like, that's so typical. Her name wasn't Jessica, though. It was something like Dana or something like that. But
good old Dana.
She was just so awesome in the sense of like her attitude. Because again, this was like during the pandemic. And so people were a little like standoffish. Do I wear a mask or not wear a mask? You know, who's going to do my hair? Is it a guy, a girl, whatever. People just come up with like all kinds of weird stuff. And we just kicked it like as if nobody was in the salon. And that's the kind of energy I like to have in the salon. She was totally happy. And when I was done, because I said like a dirty joke in her ear, I was like, I hope you don't mind. But da-da-da-da. She was like, ooh, girl, what you mean? And I was like, yeah. She was like, okay. She was like,
$100.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, but when I opened up my hand at the end of my shift at 9 p.m., I have $100 in my hand and I'm fucking crying because this woman didn't know me from Adam, but she knew I was going to do her hair and she knew the service was going to be dope. That $100 was like a dollar. It was nothing to her.
Yeah.
And that's honestly how it should be because it's just currency. But she had a great time, you know, and that's, I like the fact that she had a good time and I want to continue that. When that happens, you want to work harder. You want to do more. You want to come into the shop longer hours. Like, I can get $100, but it's not even about that, honestly. It's just about the nice connection that we had, you know? Because she was going, right, she was going through her things. I was going through mine. I was like, girl, come on, let's go. I got you. But the worst was, I don't really have worse stories, though. That was a good one.
Because my next one was going to be, like, best, you know, industry
stories. Yeah, yeah. No, I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. You got, because, you know, story time. But, like, that was one of my best. One of my worst was, okay, so I had said a dirty joke. This was before I was working at Dry Bar. I was at Glam & Go, which was, like, Express Boutique in 30 minutes. Yay. And a friend of mine, I'm going to say her name, Natalie Galati, God bless her. She hired me. And we were middle school friends, and she was like, I'm looking for people to hire. You know, can you come in? Do you have your license? Da, 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 da. I was like, yeah, girl, I'm ready to work. Let's go. So I worked with her. At the time, I was going through hell, but no matter what, always coming to work. Worry about the other shit later. And I'm in the salon. I'm doing the client's hair, and the song by Janet Jackson comes on. All my girls in the party, look at that body, shaking that thing that you ever did see. Got a nice package, all right. Guess I'm going to have to ride it tonight. All my girls in the party, look at that body, shaking that thing like I ever did see. I was like, it's all for you. If you really. So, like, she's singing the song. I remember listening to this song in fifth grade. Like, I'm all in the clouds, you know, over the city, like, just loving it, loving life. And I didn't know the song was about dick. It was about someone's package. Oh, my girl's in the party. Look at that body. Shaking that thing like I never did see. Got a nice package. All right. Guess I'm going to have to ride it tonight. I'm in fifth grade.
Yeah.
Fifth grade. So when I mentioned it and the song came up, right, I was just jamming.
Snapping.
And the girl whose hair I'm in, she's like listening to my story. And as I'm flipping her hair, her face is turning bright red. And I'm like, oh, she must like the joke. And she was totally uncomfortable.
Oh.
She was totally uncomfortable about me talking about the song and the guy's package.
Ooh, wow.
And I didn't know that because I'm just carrying on. I'm like, all right, girl, I'm almost done with your hair. I'm going to bump the last one. She's bright red, flush red. My manager comes over to me. She goes, here, I got to talk to you. I said, okay. I said, why am I in trouble? She said, So you know your last client, right? The girl who was in the chair, who you're talking about the joke and whatever. I just want to tell you, she was completely embarrassed. Like, she felt uncomfortable and you did not notice. And I was like, who, homegirl? Who I just did her hair? She was giggling with me. Everything was fine. This is the problem that I have. When you are uncomfortable, say something, motherfucker. If you, can you like not talk about that? Sure, baby, you got it. That's all you got to do. I'm one of those. I'm trying to entertain you. You're not just getting your hair done. You're getting a part of me. You're getting full service, girl. You're sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
Right. This is shop etiquette, salon etiquette. You want to be, you know, and I'm from New York, so it's so easy to be like, yeah, girl, in your face. Yeah. Like, you know, yeah, like personality. So, the, you know, the actress in me is there. But I'm not acting. I'm doing a service. I'm doing your hair. And I'm also, like, giving you a little shuck and jive, a little dance, because that's just how I get rid of the nerves. But had I known she was highly offended, I wouldn't have kept going. I wouldn't have kept going, because I don't like to make people feel uncomfortable or feel like, you know, they can't necessarily, like, you know, be themselves in the chair. I mean, if she wanted me to just be quiet during the service, I could have did so as well. But yeah, I try to keep my stories to a minimum. Or if you in my house, I'm saying whatever the fuck I want.
For sure, for sure.
I would, because, you know, that. Like, come on. Like, but in the salon, it is true, you should have some sort of speaking etiquette, because not every woman has been as experienced as you, I guess, kind of thing, or understands, you know, the world the way you do, so. But it dawned on me. I was like, oh, this is great. We're going to talk about this. Yeah, no.
Nah, that's absolutely wild. Like, people, she sounded like she was more so of an introvert, you know?
She
just couldn't. And you know, that's something that, you know, I could struggle with at times as well, too.
Yeah.
Just because I'm well aware. Like, I could be like, all right, I need you to cut the shit out. Like, but she may have not had the courage to do that, you know?
Right,
so that's where the fine line is.
Yeah.
You know, but with that being said, thank you, everyone, for watching the Middleman Podcast. You know, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. New episodes every Friday on the road. It's episode 100, my people, on the road. We are so excited for that. We are so excited. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, let's go back into something that you touched upon with the makeup, you know, with purchasing makeup and knowing what's inside of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I thought about this just as a personal question, okay? Because I was like, you know what? This would be the woman to ask, right? How much does, like, your ethnicity and, like, your DNA kind of have, like, play in the part with products that you should or should not use? You know, like, I use shit that probably isn't built for me at all. Like,
that is a wonderful motherfucking question. That's a damn good question. Only because I grew up, right? So, for instance, the makeup I use is catered to my skin complexion or whatever. But, right? Like, they have BB cream and then they have, like, heavy foundation. Like, depending on the brand, you know, it works or it doesn't. It's a hit or miss. Normally, you grow up learning what your mom used or what your aunties used or what your grandmama used, whatever they use. That's basically what you use until you find something that works for you. And for me, it was, I think growing up, we had products like Almay, Maybelline, Oil Volet, you know, Dove, stuff like that. So I try to, like, take what I learned from them. And then when I apply it on myself, if it works for me, I'll continue to use it. But if not, I'm going to find either something that works like it, or like find the active ingredient in it that makes the product so that I could find it in the next product that could be for me. So like if I found a Lancome, like a lotion for your face, and it has like retinol in it and it's supposed to help tighten the skin and all of that. it could work for my mom, but it might not work for me. It might give me a rash, or it might make my face break out because maybe I don't need retinol right now. You know, just saying, maybe I don't need it. But she says it works for her, and like me, in loving her and in her advice, I'll say, okay, Ma, I'll try it. And if it works, then cool, I'll let all my friends know. But other than that, it's just knowing what works for you through trial and error. But don't be afraid to ask your friends, even your male friends, what could work. Because, you know, again, this is all trial and error. Like, this you could use pretty much anything on your face as long as you're not allergic. I've had Sharpie on my eyeliner. I probably wouldn't recommend using Sharpie that close to your lash line. But, you know, there are people that have made eyelash, or not eyelash glue, but like eyeliner out of tar. I've seen it, you know, wow. Like it's just, yeah, different. There's also like, you have like natural makeup. It basically like, you know, smushing berries and then like learning the science of pasting using the ink and then like adding something else to make it into our actual eyeliner where it stays, like, you know, knowing the chemical processes is fire. Like basically just knowing what it does, and it could be anything. Like it doesn't necessarily matter. I think honestly, when it comes to when people be like, yo, can I, it's marketing. It's motherfucking marketing at its finest. Like if you see a black girl on a white product or a white girl on a black product, who are you to say that the product is black or the product is white? Marketing.
No, I pose that question.
Get mad if you want to. That's what I'm gonna say. That's what it is.
I pose that question because, you know, I believe that you know, we all have a little bit something encrypted in our DNA.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah.
You know, you could look at me, a Salvadorian, right? An American Salvadorian, right? And then an authentic 100% lived in El Salvador their whole life. And we might look similar, but there could be a few things that are different, and it could just be like the texture of our skin, right? Okay. And I'm like, okay, it could be because, you know, they're using other products that, you know, ran in the family bloodline for so long, right?
Right.
That it's so natural and just, you know, it's a third world country over there. It's not right. Like over here where you go to Walmart and go buy some freaking regular lotion and try every single one. And I do think about that. You know, I do think about just like, okay, maybe I'm not using the best shampoo for my hair.
Right, okay.
And it's interesting. Yeah. And I really didn't think about it until, you know, we are having this conversation right now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a cool little eye-opener.
Yeah.
So,
well, if you told me, like, if you sat down in a consultation with me and told me, hey, Ari, I'm having, like, issues with, like, oily scalp or, like, my skin is dry, you know, like, around the wintertime it gets like this, I could somewhat determine what to give you, like what you should go get or what you should try out. And then, you know, all of our diets are different. So certain products are going to react differently. And whether you grew up with it in your family or not, if it's not for you, it's not for you. It's okay. Like there's some parents, you know, they'll be like, oh, this is tried and true. This is good soap. Like black soap. Black soap is great until you find out that it's not made from a certain place or like there's additives in it that might, you know, give you a rash or whatever. Like, again, try it. If it works, cool. If not, what else? Nothing wrong with that.
So where are we at now? Are you still finding clientele? You know, just like where are you at in your journey right now? You know, it sounds like you went, you've talked to me about highs and lows, you know, and where are we right now?
I think for right now, it's just like re-entry.
Okay.
I done did what I did for as long as I could. And now it's just like, okay, I'm revamping myself, like reapproaching everything. Cause like it used to be just go, oh, this gig is here, this, that, but that go. Like, you know, no breaks. But now it's like, I guess I have like there's a huge like spiritual break for me because I was really in it. Like, I don't care. Like it was like, my phone would ring all the time. My phone don't ring. My phone don't ring. My phone don't bang no more, bro. I need some kind of like, hey girl, yeah, you know, I was wondering you in the area because I seen you on this project and I was wondering if you was interested and da-da-da. Oh yeah, girl, I'll be there. It's not like that no more. It's like oh, I'm gonna put this in your ear now, you know, 2 weeks prior to the actual project. but the person who's telling you about the project is actually working on that project the same day they called you.
What the fuck?
Like, are you messing with my emotions? Are you messing with my intelligence? But these are the kinds of people that help create character and really push your personality to a point where it's like, okay. Like, let them be that way. That's why they are that way. That's why you're the way you are, and you come through in a clutch the way you do, so that they could be that way. Just learn. Learn not to, like, be like that, you know? Like, I think a lot of people I was working with were like, fake.
Fugazi.
And so...
Fugazi. The wazi is the woozy is... buried us.
And if they wasn't... exist. If they wasn't that... Right. If they wasn't that, they was barely existing. So... sometimes you got to have that one person that's willing to risk it all. And like everywhere you go, you know that person's like that. So, you know, yeah, like I need to hang out with more me's, but instead I got more them's and it's okay because yeah.
I'm going to ask you a brilliant question right now because I love, you know, you look at your social media, right? Mm-hmm. And it's apparent, you know, it's very apparent. You love yourself, you know? You love yourself, right? And
I do.
And that's beautiful. That's great. Everyone should love themselves, right? But and you just said I need to hang out with more of me's and less of them, right?
Yeah.
What do you love so much about yourself? Talk to me. What is one of your key highlights? What do you take a lot of pride in?
Honestly, I think I take a lot of pride in the fact that I am old school with a lot of things, and unfortunately, there's not that many people left when it comes to old school. but the ones that are still here, I don't know. Like I still clean the dishes, take the trash out. Like the whole part about being authentic and genuine is to me is still doing things like that, you know, like humbling things. I recycle. Yeah. Probably not the way everybody else does, but no, I mean, whatever. I am an avid recycler. I would get on your ass if plastics are in the glass and stuff like that. But yeah.
No, you know, it's apparent. It's apparent that you enjoy yourself. You know, you enjoy your time alone. You
do.
Enjoy being able. You know what I love most about you as well is you know what you decide to wear that day kind of tells what type of mood you're in. Okay, and you know, it's like you can see it with all the outfits, with all the different styles of hair. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. Like she either means business. She's being a little bit funny and quirky. You know, she wants to look good. She wants to look fierce, sexy, you know, whatever the case may be. And that is, I love that for you. You know,
thank
so
you.
It's amazing. You know, yeah. You literally can put on many caps.
Yeah, no, that's honestly like I said, or actually I didn't say, but I kind of grew up in like the legitimate quad community. Where we would like go to like house events and like, you know, everybody would dress up and like we would basically like had to represent the house. And like, you know, it was like it was a thing where you had to create on the spot. If you got lucky to have at least a day to 2 weeks to a month to create a fit, to create an outfit and have the look and then like walk in it. Like that was that kind of preparation was like everything. I mean, you're doing it for yourself, but you're also doing it for the hood you came from or from, like, you know, your family. Like, you're doing it to represent. So, like, it was, like, a thing where it's like, I could do this, you know? And even if I can't do it, I'm going to do it anyway because I like dressing up. I like dressing up for the war that I cannot see.
Wow.
Yeah, I do. I like wearing clothes that have a bold statement. Like, I always believed in having a statement piece. Something on your head, a jacket, maybe a shoe, a ring, a bracelet, something that represents you. And it doesn't have to define you, but it's you know, it's a part of you. So it's like, oh, I like wearing this. Like it's what is that word? Like a conversation starter, you know? Like when you're like outside and people are like, what do I talk about? I don't know what to talk about. It's like, oh, I like your jacket. Oh, thanks. I like your jacket. I like it. Where you get it from? Oh, it's a custom. What, you make clothes? Yeah, I make clothes. You know, but I don't make clothes. Like I'll design something if I want to, but that's just a part of the creative side in me. That's like, no, when you go to this party, you bought this like this, but you're going to show them how you really do by wearing it like this. And that's a part of individualism as well.
your creative mind, a creative soul, revamping yourself, and you're full of energy. And
thank you.
I absolutely enjoyed how authentic you were.
Thank you.
During the entire show, you know, you'd be speaking to the people, knowing that they would be listening, and not afraid to, you wouldn't bite your tongue on some of the statements that you needed to say.
No. I mean,
one of the craziest outlandish was an hour after, maybe taking back shots. I was like, hold up.
Wait, what shots? Where? When did I say that?
You said that in the beginning when we were talking about models.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to be out here and be like, yeah, well, I know so-and-so.
Yeah, no, we don't got to drop that tea.
We don't.
We'll save that for tea time.
For real, though. But it's just, you know, it's either you take control or you don't. Somebody else to do it for you. And that's honestly what picking up the brush did for me. It was like, I could still model, but I'm also skilled. Like, I can do this. You know, that there was power in it. Like, I can't even describe it. It was like, oh my God, something about this feels so right. And it feels so good because not only do I understand where the models are coming from because I used to model, but I could also, like, I could level with them. And they don't have to be afraid with me, or they don't have to, like, be like, oh, I got to be, you know, bougie and fake. No, you just... What happened? What's up, girl? We here in the shoot together. Like, they'll tell me the whole story real quick, cry or whatever they got to do before we start. And then we start. That's a blessing. Like, I want you to feel comfortable with me. I don't want you to feel like, I can't do this. Like, no. If you feel like that, then I can't do it either. Like, what? No. We know. We here. We doing this. We finish it. And then you go home.
I love that. You know, you said the brush basically, you know, empowered you. You know,
yeah,
you
totally.
Empowered.
Hell yeah.
You know, we're going to get ready to sign off here and get into tea time. But before we do that, you know, I would love to give you the floor. If there's anything that we miss, if there's any final messages that you want to tell the people, especially people who are starting out in the industry, because it seems like it's one that is, you need to be extremely knowledgeable. You mentioned, you know, college, but also maybe the paper's not going to do shit for you. You know, it all depends on where you insert yourself to.
Yeah.
So maybe leave some people who are, you know, starting off in the industry, trying to figure out their way. And I think you definitely did a great job at informing them of the harm, but also the good. In the industry.
I mean, honestly, if you're just getting your feet wet, like, don't stop. You're going to take any gig that you could put your actual hands on, you know? Like, there's nothing wrong with really, like, how do I say it? It's like, you have to invest in yourself, but... You don't have to. Sometimes it's just like learning what's around you and like really making it work. However, when it comes to like information and stuff like that, you could look at the cosmetology books. You could read what's in them. Getting to know like different types of makeup brands, different types of brushes. If there's sponsorships for them, like go for the sponsorships. Go for the programs or the companies that are like, okay, you know, we're looking for you. Like, oh, you're looking for me? Well, I was looking for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, email them. Like, start just cramming their inbox. Let them know that you're there and that you're ready to work. But if that doesn't work, just, you know, you could start at any old Sephora or, you know, Makeup Forever and just be by the counter. And, you know, you start off easy like that.
Work your way up. I mean,
yeah,
similar to how you did, you know, when you were at the counter and, you know, they're like, oh, she leveled up.
I've
been here. I got
yeah.
this.
Yeah. I mean, but. I put in an application for Sephora and a woman in a hijab literally looked at me and said, we're not hiring right now. And I said it like that because it was like, sis, you know, like you, this is the same location that told me to come in with my resume. And now you're telling me I'm not qualified. And she said, well, you know, you would have to work the counter first. And this is when I fresh came out of school. I was like, huh? Why would I work the counter if I'm a makeup artist? And she said, well, if you want to work as a makeup artist in the chair, you have to do cashier first.
Wow.
I said, okay. Okay.
What an industry.
I'm telling you, you will get tried.
You
got to
be humble.
Stay true.
You'll be tried, exactly. They're going to test your gangster.
Yes.
But stay true to yourself. And with that being said, we're going to transition into tea time, not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, Disco Makeup Ari. Thank you for joining me here
with
a fantastic show.
Thank you for having me.
We'll catch you all next week.